I see those lessons I gave you this week, Miss Carol, paid off. Brett told me that she doesn't read music, correct? All by ear. That's impressive. I also play by ear, Brett. Miss Carol, have you learned to read music? Or are you still just...
I don't read music, but I play by ear.
She plays by ear. How about that? That's amazing. Well, thank you. Thank you for that beautiful rendition. So much patriotic stuff. Love that stuff. Awesome. Beautiful. Hey, guys, go ahead and turn your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We are continuing our series. We have been, over the last several weeks, looking in God's Word in the book of Acts, but more, I guess, of a broader nature. We've been looking at the move and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking and looking specifically into the book of Acts, and it's taken us, I guess, the last 4 or 5 weeks, actually, to get over to Acts chapter 3. We've been looking not just at the events surrounding the day of Pentecost or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but what we have been looking at and what we have been seeking a better understanding of is how does the Holy Spirit move through the church? How does the Holy Spirit move through individual disciples of Christ? How does the power and the outpouring, the anointing, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit work in the life of a believer? How do we live out that anointing in our generation? Understanding better who the Holy Spirit is and how God's Holy Spirit desires to work in our lives, in our families, in our church. And so what we're doing now today is continuing a look and digging a little bit deeper into Acts. And then we're in Acts chapter 3 this morning. And the title for today's message is Anointed the Power to Heal. Anointed the Power to Heal. Now, we talked about this several weeks ago, the fact that so many people have discounted the power and the working of the Holy Spirit as if since the apostolic age, since the apostles were dead and gone and no longer on the earth, that somehow God had withdrawn the full power of the Holy Spirit, or the full power and presence of the Holy Spirit that was available and accessible to the apostles in their generation is no longer the same as it is today. That's not the truth. The same power and the same person of the Holy Spirit, the same presence of the Holy Spirit that was available to the early church is available to today's church. And that's what we need to understand. And that's what we are looking at in God's Word, understanding and getting a better grasp on the fact that God's desire is to move in our lives, to move in the life of the church in our generation in much the same manner, in like kind, as he did on the early church. Does that mean that God will still desires to still perform miracles, to still do works of healing, to still do works of supernatural, a supernatural drawing of men to himself through the person of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. And I believe that. I believe that if you discount that truth through our generation, then you're discounting the full power of the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to be very careful as we look in Scripture today. So listen, this morning in Acts chapter 3, we're going to be looking at several different sections of this chapter. But the incredible thing, this is, as we're looking this morning, we are looking at the first miracle performed by the apostles that is recorded in the book of Acts this morning. So this is the first miracle performed by the apostles here in the book of Acts. And it took place after Pentecost. So it takes place after Pentecost. And this is a miracle of healing. And it was completely different. Understand, it was completely different from the claims or the healings, claims of faith healers today. The focus was on Jesus and not on men. The focus was on the person of Christ and not on those who were performing the miracle. There was no denying that this miracle had been performed. And it's really neat if you think about it. The writer of the book of Acts, Luke, the physician, was there's no one who would be more equipped or adequate to write this telling of this story about this lame man being healed. So turn with me, if you're already there, Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up together to the temple complex at the hour of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Some versions of this scripture might say that it was the ninth hour, but 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man who was lame from birth was carried there and placed every day at the temple called Beautiful, so he could beg from those entering the temple complex. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple complex, he asked for help. Verse 4, Peter, along with John, looked at him intently and said, "Look at us." So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. Now let's stop there for just a second. Now, this is an interesting passage of scripture. Now we're talking about, and this is, if you're taking notes, if you want to write this down, what we're talking about is the supernatural work of God. We're talking about the supernatural work or the supernatural power of God this morning. And that's the most important thing that we need to understand, the most important thing that we need to be grounded on as disciples in our generation. And what we as the church, as members of one body, need to continually be praying for is that God would pour out on our generation a supernatural power. And I'm not talking about something hokey that you might see on television. I'm not talking about some of these cheesy television shows that talk about supernatural. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit working in the church today. And what we've been looking at over the last several weeks is trying to understand, trying to tap into the person of the Holy Spirit and the power available to the church. So this man that they are coming to was in a hopeless situation. If you look at the scripture, it talks about his personal physical situation. And it was a physical or a physically hopeless predicament he found himself in. It says in scripture very clearly that he had been crippled since birth. He had not been able to walk since the time he was born. He was lame, scripture reveals, in his feet and in his ankles. And every day he had to depend on someone else. The scripture says that they would pick him up and carry him to the gate of the temple called Beautiful every day, basically to beg. He would spend his day begging for money. He wasn't able to work. He wasn't able to go and earn a living. But every day he would find himself at the temple called Beautiful, begging for money from those who would pass by. Now, so he had to depend on the generosity of other people to survive. Now, he knew he was hopeless. He knew he was in a helpless situation. And the scripture says basically that all he was able to do every day was just ask for help. Now, it's interesting. I love this passage of scripture. And there's so many different things to look at here. But Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray. And as they were passing by this crippled man, he begins to cry out to them. Now, he didn't ask them for healing. He didn't ask them to be taught about who the person of Jesus was. Here were two apostles of Christ who had been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, but his insight wasn't into the fact that they had a supernatural power within them. All he was asking for was a couple of some spare change. He was crying out, it says, basically, do you have anything? Hey, can you give me anything? He was asking for help, but he was not asking for the right kind of help. Now, one day on the school playground, there were a couple of boys. They got in an argument and they started tussling with one another and pushing back and forth. And they got into a big fight. And obviously, as most fights on the playground go, the bigger kid started beating the stew out of the smaller kid. Amen? You know? I mean, he had him on the ground and he was pushing his face in the dirt and hitting him on the head. And the smaller kid's shirt was torn and he had blood coming out of his side of his lip. And he was just getting beat up. And he started screaming to all the kids around. He said, "Go get the teacher. Tell her I need help." And one of the little kids ran up to the teacher and said, "Hey, there's two kids in a fight on the playground. The one getting his face beat in really needs your help." And here's the thing. When you're the one on bottom getting your face beat in, you want to know that there's help on the way. Amen? And here's the thing. This little kid on the bottom getting beat up says, "Hey, I really need some help. Just some relief." Like old Jerry Clower said the other day, "Just shoot up amongst here so one of us can get some relief, Brother Ralph." But anyway, I'm sorry, I made my wife listen to about 2 hours of Jerry Clower driving the other day. I thought it was a blessing. She did not. She said, please, honey, do we have to listen to Jerry Clower again? I said, knock him out, John. But anyway, some of y'all don't even know who Jerry Clower is or any of what I just said, but that's all right. I'll bless you with that later. Just get in touch with me. But anyway, here's the thing. The guy's here crippled. He doesn't know what kind of help he needs, but he's just asking for the only kind of help that he knows to ask for. Can you give me some spare change? Now, it's interesting in this passage of Scripture, he expected to get something from them, but he didn't really know what he was going to receive. And here's the response. I love this in verse 6. The apostles look at him, and Peter says, look at us. Look at us. Now, the crippled man was expecting to get something. Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Now, it's interesting in this passage of Scripture because it must have been discouraging. Now think about this. You're a guy that the only thing you know from day in, day out, day after day after day, for years, is I know that some friends are going to come by. They're going to pick me up, drag me, carry me, whatever they have to do to get me up here by the side of the road where all of the people are going to be passing by. And all I know is asking for spare change. All I know is to beg from people and hope that they're going to feel sorry for me and give me just a little bit of pocket change. That's all I know to get by. And here's an interesting thing. The apostles say, their response to this guy begging for some spare change is, look at us. Now, I want to tell you, when I was looking at this, we often get frustrated when God doesn't give us what we ask for. Amen? We often get very frustrated and anxious, and a lot of times people get angry. People get mad at God because God doesn't give them what they want when they want it. Amen? A lot of us are like that. I mean, I'll be real honest with you. We're quasi-homeless still, church. You know, we still haven't closed on our house. We're still living out of suitcases a month into this deal of transitioning down to Griffin. Y'all may have seen me wear these jeans a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. I think I've worn this shirt. I almost wore my t-shirt again today, but praise the Lord, Melissa had washed and ironed this shirt for me. Y'all can bless, you know. I've been wearing the same 5 or 6 t-shirts, the same 3 or 4 button-up shirts for the last month. Now, why? Because it's all I've got, and I don't want to go buy anything else because I know we got a whole lot of clothes boxed up back in Oxford. Amen? And I'm thinking, Lord, and I've asked this question, God, you know what I want. You know what I need. Why don't you give it to me in my timing, right? Why don't we have all of this taken care of in our timing? And God says, wait, I got something. I'm going to show you something better than what you anticipated you were going to have. Amen? And see, that's the perspective. Here's this crippled man, and he's begging for some pocket change. And the disciples say, look at us. Now, it's interesting because we get so frustrated when God doesn't give us what we want. And he's in Peter's words, he says, what I have, I give you. Now, I want to stop for just a second. And I want to give you guys 3 words that we need to start living up to on a daily basis in our generation as the body of Christ. Are you ready? You may want to write this down. It's in the Scripture. Here's the 3 words that we need to start living up to. Look at us. Look at us. Now I want you to stop for just a second, and I want you to think about those 3 words. Look at us. Peter and John are walking. They're on their way to the temple to pray. And these men who are this man who's in a desperate situation ask them for something. They have the power within them to do something supernatural. So they have the confidence then to say, look at us. Look at us. And here's the challenge, I believe, for our generation, church. I believe this is these 3 words are 3 words that we need to be able to speak with boldness to be able to speak with confidence, to be able to speak with an anointing, to be able to look at a world and say, hey, we understand that you're hurting. We understand that you're crippled. We understand that you don't have a relationship with God. You don't even know what to ask for. And when you ask for it, you're not even asking for the right things. But let me tell you something. What God is desiring of the church in our generation is that there would be such a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit on us that we would have the confidence, the boldness, the indwelling, the outpouring of the Spirit from our lives in such a way that we could walk out into a world that is living in darkness and say, hey, look at us. We're walking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The problem with most churches is the problem with most individual believers. We don't feel that we have an anointing. We don't feel that we possess anything that is any different than everybody else walking in the world that we come in contact with. So we don't have a confidence or a boldness to look at people walking in darkness and say, hey, look at us. I'm fixing to tell you something. I have the power to give you something that you don't have. I have the power and the boldness and the confidence to speak a word into your life that is going to completely transform who you are and how you live. And what we need to understand is that as the body of Christ in our generation, that God's desire is for us to walk with a confidence. You see, Peter and John, when they were walking, they weren't walking just skulking along the road. They were walking with the powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit, thinking, we have been given a power, we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on us, and we're just looking for people's lives to change. That was their perspective. So when this man said, hey, do you have any pocket change? He says, look at us. Listen, silver and gold we don't have, but what I do have, I'm going to give you in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Get up and walk. Do you see it, church? Folks, I don't know about y'all, but this fires me up. Amen? I mean, does this fire y'all up? I mean, this is where we as a church need to be in our generation. We have got to get to a point where we're walking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, where we are looking with sensitive eyes, looking with the eyes of Christ around us on a constant daily basis, saying, who are the people around me that are literally crippled since birth with the power and the bondage of sin, and they don't even realize that the power to heal them is right in front of their faces? Look at us. And we begin to ask ourselves, God, am I living a life? Am I walking under an anointing of the Holy Spirit that is so empowered? Am I overflowing with the presence of the Holy Spirit today? Am I walking and talking in such a way that people could look at me and even ask me for help so that I might say, look, I don't know what you were expecting, but I want to share something with you today that is going to completely transform your life from this day forward. You see, that's what the disciples said. What we have, we give you. We don't have silver or gold. Let me tell you what we do have, the power for you to receive a renewal, a restoration in the name. Now, when he says, in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, in the name, he is talking about the virtue of Christ's character. He's talking about the virtue and the power and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. He's saying, in the name of Jesus, I tell you, get up and walk. Now, here's the thing that we have to understand. I believe that we, as the body of Christ in our generation, have got to reclaim an understanding and appreciation for the character and the power of the name of Jesus that we've lost. When we speak the name of Jesus, we are speaking with power and authority. You see, they had been given, if you look back in Luke chapter 9, in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, the passages of Scripture there are talking about the fact that the apostles had been given the authority from Jesus to heal the sick. They had received these gifts of healing and miracles that came through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So there was something supernatural that had been given to the church, a supernatural power to heal and speak life and to speak forgiveness and grace to people, all based on the name of Jesus. And listen, here's the thing. They had that power and they had that authority. Jesus had patented. Now, here's something I want you to understand. Think about this guy. He is a cripple sitting by the path. Now, it was very intentional. They put him by the pathway leading up to the temple. Why? Well, they knew people were going to be passing by there at certain hours during the day. And if we put you right by the main road leading up to the temple, maybe some folks are going to look at you that you're going to pass by. All of these different people are going to come by you every single day. Let me drop something else on you in case you didn't see this. Somebody told me this past week, I was having a conversation. I told Melissa after I had this conversation. I had a conversation with a guy that I met this week, and he asked me what I did, and I said, well, I'm a pastor. And guys, listen, if y'all ever meet somebody that's a pastor, don't tell them stupid stories, okay? Anyway, here, let me... This guy comes up to me, and I made the mistake. You know, I wasn't going to lie, Annette. You know, he said, hey, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a pastor. Oh, are you a pastor? He said, what kind of pastor? I'm Baptist. Oh, I was raised Southern Baptist. I'm now Mormon. I was like, oh, here we go. And we started this conversation about church and life. And then he said, before I leave, Pastor, he kept saying that. He said, before I leave, Pastor, I want to tell you a Bible story, but it's not in the Bible. I said, we just call that a story. And he said, no, it's a Bible story. It's just not in the Bible. I said, no, it's just a story that you made up. But go ahead. So anyway, we got in this long conversation. I'm fixing to tell a Bible story that is in the Bible. You just got to look somewhere else for it. Here's the thing. Do you know who else passed by this guy, probably seated on the side of the road, headed to temple? Because we know that he did pass by going to temple in Jerusalem, going up to Solomon's colonnade. Do you know who else passed by this cripple? Jesus. Do you ever stop and think about that? If this guy from the day of birth, at some point in his life, people started bringing him up and sitting him by the side of the road, and it would have been at the same period of time that Jesus was also passing by this cripple man on the side of the pathway going up to the temple during the hour of prayer, because Scripture teaches us that Jesus also during times of prayer would meet, as good Jews did, at the temple to pray and to fellowship with other believers. Now think about this. At some point in time, Jesus, Brother Ralph, would have walked right by that same cripple man that Peter and John walked by on the way up to the Temple Mount to pray during the hour of prayer at 3 p.m. Jesus would have also walked by in the crowd. And as I'm reading through this passage of Scripture, I'm thinking, Peter and John walked by this guy, and he's hollering out to people by, can you give alms to a cripple man? Hey, any spare change for a cripple man? At some point in time, if this guy was being taken up there every day, and all of these good Jews were headed up to the temple at 3 p.m. to pray, you know that Jesus would also have had to have walked by this guy. And at some point, Jesus also would have had to have heard the guy saying, hey, you got anything to give to a cripple guy sitting over on the side of the road? And I got to thinking about this, if Jesus also was passing by that same place on the road at that same time in the day, heading up with other Jews for the time of prayer and teaching and Scripture reading, passing by that same guy, why did Jesus not heal him? But Peter and John walk by, and for some reason he catches their ear, and they walk over and they speak life into him, and they say, look, get up and walk. And here's the reality, and this is what I really want us to latch on to this morning. Luke chapter 9 and verse 1 and 1 Corinthians 12 talks about that the power to heal had been given to Peter and John. They were anointed. The power to speak life and forgiveness into the life of a sinner was in Peter and John through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They had the supernatural opportunity, obligation, and anointing to speak life into someone who was crippled, and to speak life into someone who didn't know what life really was. And what I want you to understand is this: the same power that was on Peter and John to speak a word of life and healing into that cripple man seated by the side of the road is the same power and same anointing that we as the body of Christ in our generation have received through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, what are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say that we have the same anointing and the same indwelling, the same Holy Spirit is in us, working through us, overflowing from our lives. And we have the opportunity to speak life into people around us who are lame, spiritually dead because of their trespasses and sin, and going to hell if they don't come to a point of faith and understanding who Jesus Christ is. And God's desire for us in our generation is to be able to walk out into a world where people are crippled spiritually and speak a word to them to say, hey, look, I don't know what's going on in my life. I'm struggling. Things are falling apart. My marriage is in shambles. My finances are horrible. I'm so confused. And we should have the same power and boldness to turn and look people in the eye and say, look at me. I want to speak a word of life into your desperate situation. And that word is the name Jesus. Do you see that? Look at us. If you're sitting on this pew today and you call yourself a disciple of Christ, the same anointing and the same power and the same boldness, the same challenge and obligation that was given to the apostles during the time immediately following Pentecost, during that apostolic age, that same responsibility to share the message of Jesus Christ has now fallen upon the shoulders of the church in our generation. And if we really desire to see revival take root and break out in our community, then the mantle of responsibility falls on us through the outpouring and indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. So the Holy Spirit then gives Peter this assurance. Gives Peter this assurance at that moment to believe that Jesus would heal this cripple. And he says, get up and walk. Look at the result of this miracle. Look at verse 7 and 8. And I love this. Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up, stood, and started to walk. And he entered the temple complex with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple complex. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. While he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, greatly amazed, ran toward them in what is called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you stare at us as though we had made him walk by our own power or godliness? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you." Verse 15, "You killed the source of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through him has given him this perfect health in front of all of you. And now, brothers, I know that you did it in ignorance, just as your leaders also did." See that again? He just said, hey, y'all are ignorant. I love it. He said, you're ignorant. Your leaders were ignorant. But listen what I got to tell you. But God predicted through the mouth of all the prophets that his Messiah would suffer. He has fulfilled it in this way. Therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah. Heaven must welcome him until the times of the restoration of all things, which God spoke about by the mouth of his holy prophets from the beginning. And he goes on and begins to, what Peter is saying, he begins preaching this powerful message about Jesus Christ. Remember, everything that the apostles did always pointed back to the person of Jesus Christ. Remember the responsibility of Jesus. Jesus always sought to glorify the Father. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit fell, the move and the work of the Holy Spirit is always to glorify the person of Jesus Christ. What Peter is doing through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is lifting up the person of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and the only way to heaven. So here's the thing I want to leave you with. The result of this miracle was more than the fact that the man was jumping and leaping and running around. I mean, listen, if you had been crippled since birth and all of a sudden had the power to walk, you'd jump and run and skip and dance and do everything you could possibly do, screaming, "Hey, y'all, look at me. Remember, I'm the guy that was just a little while ago sitting over there in the dirt, but now I have the power and the ability to walk. I'm dancing. I'm praising. I'm lifting. Look, these guys healed me." What does Peter do? He says, "It wasn't our power. It wasn't what we have done. It is through the person of Jesus Christ." They weren't tooting their own horn. They were tooting the horn of Jesus and saying, "Listen, it wasn't us. It was the person of Jesus." And here's the thing that I want to leave you guys with this morning. The reaction of the people was they were filled with wonder. They were filled, the Word of God says, they were filled with wonder and amazement. And do you know that as a result of this, having witnessed the supernatural power of God, literally thousands came to know Jesus Christ. Why? And here it is. This is the bottom line. There are people in neighborhoods, in the blocks surrounding this church, that have heard the name of Jesus. Jesus, similar to this lame man, Jesus has walked by them time after time after time, but nothing has changed. Jesus walked by that lame man, I'm sure, numerous times, but he never walked over and healed him. But in Peter's time and in John's time, through the anointing and indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they were chosen at a specific time and a specific place to glorify and lift up the name of Jesus as they brought healing into that man's life. Guys, if we want to see revival, life transformation in our generation, people have heard about Jesus time after time after time. They've watched television show and seen billboards and read pamphlets. People know the name of Jesus. What they want to know is there, can they look at the church? Are we willing to stand out in the middle of the darkness of this lost world and say, "Look at us"? And see the anointing on our lives and know that we have a message of hope and transformation and healing for you. And we believe it. We speak it. Now let me see how God works when you accept it. That's the job. That's the responsibility of our church, of every one of us in our generation as disciples of Christ under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.